If you have your Bibles, open the book of Matthew chapter 27 tonight. Matthew chapter 27. We want to begin reading with verse number 1, read down through verse number 10 to you, and then we'll come back and bring the message. I told Brother Lawrence, he brought raised a question about the message this morning, said, how in the world are we going to make the kingdom of heaven a better place? I don't have those answers yet, but I know one thing. Everything that's going to be up there, from the mansions, the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, all those things that the Bible talks about being there will be because God made it for you and I. So we mean that much to Him. I just can't hardly wait to get up there. And you can think about grandparents, great-grandparents. Maybe some of you have your own children that are already there. My, what a wonderful, wonderful life this is going to be, knowing that we'll never be separated again. No one will ever be sick again. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more leukemia. Be no more surgeries. None of this pain, having to deal with pancreatitis and all those things. And some way, though, it's going to be there because of you. You're the one that heaven's looking forward to getting there. And so I'm looking forward to being a part of that life. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 1. Would you stand with me, please, while I read from the Scriptures tonight? Matthew chapter 27, look at verse number 1 with me. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put Him to death. And when they had bound Him, they led Him away and delivered Him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed Him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we're thankful this evening again for the privilege to come to church. What a great honor. And I pray, Lord, that You'll bless our time together, bless the Word of God, put Your words and Your thoughts in my mind, and help me, Lord, to say only those things that would be pleasing unto You. And Lord, so anointed that I would say what You would say if You were standing where I am right now. I pray that especially tonight, Lord, You'll bless our invitation as that time comes for us to examine our walk with You. I pray that we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God as You direct us in that moment. And Lord, we'll be careful to give You all the praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen and amen. Thinking you might be seated tonight. When I grew up, I was raised by my grandparents. Someone asked one time, said, well, what does that mean? It means that I was spoiled, stinking, rotten. I was the one everything centered around me. I remember so many times of having those days with my grandparents. And I'm 3 years of age, my parents began to leave me with them and would go off and have these great parties. And my dad was a country music singer. I don't know if you'll remember Roy Acuff, the yo-yoing singer on the Grand Ole Opry. My dad played rhythm guitar for Roy Acuff. And so he would be gone a lot. My mom would take me over and leave me with my grandparents. So when I turned 11 years of age, I just moved in with them and stayed there until I was married. And I enjoyed being a part of their life, enjoyed seeing what made them happy and what they taught me. And some of the things that I brought into my life were the hobbies that my grandparents and I shared in common. One was that my grandfather was a fisherman. He was a fishing machine. I mean, you could walk down this lake and throw your bait in there and pull it just the right speed. You could do all the right things, and then he would come right behind you and catch one right out of that very spot. I enjoyed that. I remember one time standing on the lake with my grandfather, and I walked over to him. I said, "Papa, I've got something I want to say to you." I said, "If God would let me live my life over, and I could hand pick my papa, I want you to know I'd pick you all over again." Now, I just wouldn't take anything. The value of that to me tonight is beyond measure. I can't even put it into words what that moment meant to me, to be able to stand and look him right in the face, have his undivided attention, and make sure that he knows how I feel about him before that day come to a close. I remember another thing that me and my grandfather did. We collected old money, and he would buy a piece, and of course, you know, 11-year-old boy, I didn't have a lot of money, so it was his practice that when he bought himself one, he would buy me one just like it or as close as he could. I still have absolutely every piece of that money that my grandfather ever gave me. I've gone through it. I've got two jars about this high full of wheat pennies and mercury dimes and buffalo nickels and V nickels and all those things that we collected. The oldest one I have is a half dollar. It's a, the name just left me, but it's a half dollar, 1884 date on it. And I treasure it because my grandfather come to me and he said, "Ben, I don't know how much longer I'm going to live on this earth, and I want you to have this." And he handed, there's just no way that I could tell you what that Morgan half dollar means to me right now, because it has a sentimental value to it as well as a monetary value, and I couldn't part with it. It wouldn't be enough money that anybody could give me that would satisfy how much that means to me, especially in what they'd be willing to pay for it. But as you look down in our verses tonight, there is a value placed upon Christ by different people. The first one that you find in the Scripture is Judas places a value upon him. And in verse number 10 or 9, it said, "Then was fulfilled with that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value." Judas sold the Lord out for 30 pieces of silver, by the way, which is the price for a common slave. That's all Jesus meant to Judas. Then Judas made many mistakes, not only in valuing improperly the Lord Jesus, but then the Bible said in verse number 3, then Judas, which when had been betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned. Or in other words, Judas carried the 30 pieces of silver back and he cast them down because he had been caught. He had been gotten up with, and he realized, okay, I'm caught now and I've got to do something. So he goes back and casts down the 30 pieces of silver and tries to make everything right, like that's going to make it right. Can I just say to you tonight, before we even get started, a do-better attitude will never get the job done in your life. Just saying, "Okay, well, I know I did wrong and I won't do that again," will not make things right in your life. Judas made mistakes in placing value upon Christ. And if we're not careful tonight, we too will make mistakes in determining how valuable Jesus really is to us. Then the Bible said when he cast down the pieces of silver, the chief priests and elders said, we can't put it into the treasury because it's the price of blood. So therefore they bought the potter's field. Again, a mistake is made. They erroneously determined the value of Christ at the value of a potter's field to bury strangers in. So mistakes were made. Mistakes were made in trying to determine. And I want to ask this question tonight in my message. How valuable is Christ to you? What does he mean to you? There's two ways that we value Christ. Number one, we value him by the lifestyle that we live, the way we conduct ourselves, the amount of character in our life. All those things together work to prove one thing. The life that I'm living today speaks louder than any word that I can rehearse to you in this sermon. The life says this is what Jesus means to Benny Hatfield. The life that Brother Jay has lived here for these 40 plus years in the church says this is what Jesus means to Brother Jay and Miss Betty. It's not your words, it's not my words, but it's the life that we live that properly determines how valuable Christ is to us. Secondly, you properly determine the value of Christ and display that value by the temptations that comes in your life. Or in other words, could I put it this way? How cheap can you be bought tonight? What would it take to draw you out of this church? What would it take for you to just one day say, I'm not going back to the house of God. I'm not going to be a part of Grace Baptist Church anymore. Well, that selling price, that temptation that you sell out to and you give yourself to that sin speaks louder than any words you'll ever be able to rehearse. To say this is what Jesus means to me. Go back in your mind and think about the last time you failed a temptation. The last time you committed a sin. Regardless of what it might have been. You may have gotten angry at someone. You may have said something that you later regretted you said. Someone even could be sitting in the house of God and having an affair. No one would know about it. But no matter what that sin is, that is the price that you are placing on Christ. And you're saying, as long as this doesn't happen, then I'm going to love Him and I'm going to nurture Him. And this is what He's going to continue to mean to me. But when you give in to that temptation and you go that way of sin, then that testifies of what He really honestly, truly means to you and I. So it's the lifestyle we live and it's the temptations that we come in contact with from the devil. They speak loudly tonight. But my grandfather taught me when we collected our old money that there is a proper way to value that money. I want to take what he taught me tonight and implement it into this message and determine the true value of the Lord Jesus Christ. My grandfather said to me, first of all, he said, any one of these coins has a monetary value to it. But he said there's a second way to value that coin. And he said that is in the eyes of the beholder. Or it has a sentimental value to it. Just like that Morgan half dollar has a very sentimental value to me. The very last piece that my grandfather gave me before he went to heaven. And so it has a monetary value, but it has also a sentimental value. And it's the fact that he gave it to me. It came from him. He and I shared this hobby together and we collected this old money. Well, can I say to you tonight, that if you want to love the Lord Jesus Christ the way He deserves to be loved, there is going to have to be some sentimental value placed upon Him. And you remember when He called you out of your sin. You remember when He was waiting for you when you knelt in that altar, wherever it was, and you made you an altar. You remember when you said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul." That you didn't have to talk Him into it. You didn't have to encourage Him. He was there. He was ready. And He did things for you that are very special and very, very personal in your life. So there's a sentimental value that has to be looked at if you're going to determine proper value. As a matter of fact, hanging in the living room of my grandparents' home was a wall. When you came down the hallway, made a left, went in the living room, there was a wall right there on the left. And my grandmother had all the photographs of her grandchildren and great-grandchildren and children on that wall. I've seen my grandmother stop and look at that wall and say, "Hello, Andrew, how are you doing today?" And stop and talk, and you'd think, well, that's a crazy old woman talking to pictures on a wall. But no, see, they have a sentimental value to my grandmother. As a matter of fact, that wall was her holy of holies. She spent a lot of time conversing with all the family just through those photographs. And if Jesus does not have a sentimental value to us tonight, then we're doing the very same thing Judas did. We're making mistakes in determining His value. Secondly, he said the rarity of the coin is what determines proper value. The rarity of it. And he would say to me, "Now son, leave it in this little sleeve. Don't take it out and handle it, because when you rub your hand on the inscription, it wears it down." And he said, "There's just a very few of these coins. I have a 1856 California gold piece, a $5 gold piece that you have to have a magnifying glass to read the little writing upon it. But there are so very few of them. The rarity of it is what makes it so valuable." And I just want you to think with me for just a few minutes tonight, because He is rare. Amen? He did for you and is doing for you and will do for you the things that no one else upon this earth could possibly have done for you. Jesus is rare. Do you really want to determine His value? Do you want to be proper in determining how precious Jesus is? Then you must consider the rarity of Christ. That when the time come for the sins of the whole world to be paid, there was no one to sin. There was no one to come. And Jesus steps forward and said, "Father, I'll go and die on an old rugged cross." No one else. Satan has never done anything like that. As a matter of fact, if I had Satan's followers and I lined them up here tonight on the platform and I said to them, I said, "Testify how good Satan's been to you." They would say things like, "Well, he's given me liquor for my entire life and now I have cirrhosis of the liver." That would be their testimony. He just doesn't have to offer what Jesus has to offer. And I want to say tonight, He's valuable, but you've got to realize that He did something for you that no one else in eternity could have done for you. He's rare tonight. Amen? He's rare. Then he said to me, the quality of the object determines value. Leave it in that sleeve. Don't wear it down. Don't handle it. Make sure you keep it and preserve it just the way it is. And that determines the value. The more, if it's of excellent condition, the value of it will go up beyond measure compared to one that's been handled and transferred around through the hands. And so tonight, the quality of the object determines value. And then lastly, the need of the object determines value. And we've all got to realize our need for Christ. I remember my wife was, well, her hobby is shopping. Maybe some of you ladies will know that. She don't play sports, she don't play golf, don't do any of those things. But if you want to go shopping, you don't take a watch with you, you take a calendar. And my wife loves to shop. And she'll take me in a store and I'll sit down there and she'll say, "What about this?" And I said, "Boy, that'd look good on you, baby." And she'll go try it on, bring it back. She'll try another one on. And then she'll finally say, "I believe I'm going to take one. I'm going to buy this." I say, "Honey, wait, one more thing." I said, "Didn't you buy one like that about a month ago?" She, "Yeah, but this is a good deal. I can't pass it up." But really, if you want to know the true value of something, the need has to be considered. Amen? The need. And you need Jesus tonight more than you ever have before, ever will. Every day of your life, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we could just stand tonight and place proper value upon Christ, I want to give you a value test tonight. And give you opportunity to say, "Well, do I value Him the way He deserves to be valued?" Number one, valuable objects are often the subject of discussion. Does Jesus come up in your discussion very often? Do you tell others about Him? If something's valuable, you know the Mona Lisa, they say they've never found a brush stroke in that painting. When he painted it, it was done in such a way that no one else in history had ever been able to produce such a painting. And people want to see that. And they want to know about it. They have people that take tours through there and show that painting and you can see it. Well, if Jesus is valuable to us tonight, He will be a part of our everyday conversation. Amen. We can't come in here and sit on a pew and say, "Boy, I'm ready to have camp meeting," and yet we don't ever share Him with our neighbor. We don't ever talk about Him with our family. We don't just say He's valuable enough that I want to talk about Him right now. But down in South Georgia, and this preacher, he loved God as much, I believe, as any man I ever seen in my life. He had dandruff, just fell off everywhere. Wore one suit, wore the same suit every night. I never seen him in another suit. And he would come talk to you and his face would be just right there. Just, I mean, "Hey, how you doing, Brother Hatfield? Good to see you again." Slobber all over you and everything. But I'm going to tell you what, that old man loved God with every ounce in it. Everybody he got a chance to, man, he'd get right in front of their face and tell them about the day the Lord saved him. Amen. If Jesus is really valuable, we're going to be talking about Him. Amen. Is He a part of your everyday conversation? Secondly, valuable objects are openly displayed for others to see. That Mona Lisa is something that a lot of people want to see. They want to see the beauty of it. How that somebody can paint something like that. But if Jesus means enough to us, then He is going to have to be seen in our lives. Not just talked about Him, but to let others see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Is He valuable enough? Matter of fact, could I ask you this? Has anyone ever walked up to you and said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I was in Walmart the other day and a man come up and I don't know what I did to deserve it. But he was working there, waited on me, and I talked to him a little while. He said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" I said, "How'd you know that?" He said, "It shows." Amen. If something is valuable, it's going to show up in your life. It's something that others are going to be able to see that and desire to have what you've got. Is Jesus valuable? Judas made many mistakes. I don't want us to make those mistakes. Lastly, the selling price is determined by the owner alone. I have those pieces of money, And they, no one on this earth can tell me how much they're worth. You can buy me the book. I'll look in the book. It says that's worth 75 cents. But I'm the owner of it. And I say 75 cents will not buy that wheat penny. Because I'm the owner and it's all up to me as to whether I sell it or not. And you know, the price that you can be bought for, as I said a while ago, is the price, the value you place upon Christ. What would it take to get you out of this church and back out in the world? What would it take to get you to close your Bible and never read it again? And you say, well, I would never do that. You heard my testimony this morning. I never dreamed I would end up that way, but I did. Because there is a real devil. And Satan knows exactly what our weaknesses are. And if he can get you with a bottle of liquor, he'll do that. If he can get you with prescription drugs, he'll do that. He'll draw you out slowly. It won't be all at once. It won't be noticeable by everybody. But it'll be something that'll happen over a process of time. And before you know it, it just dawns on you that I don't read my Bible like I used to. I don't witness and hand out gospel tracts like I used to. And here we are ready to have revival. Are we going to have camp meeting this week? Well, if we make mistakes in valuing Christ, there'll be no camp meeting this week. By the way, camp meeting is not to see how good preachers preach either. Camp meeting is to meet with Christ. Amen? And make sure that I'm placing proper value upon Him tonight. So my question to you in this message tonight is, how valuable is Christ to you? And what would it take to buy you from Him? Let's stand and bow for prayer.